My title of my sermon this morning is "There Anything Too Hard for God?" I adapted this sermon from a sermon from Charles H. Spurgeon. Our text this morning, Jeremiah chapter 32, 26 and 27, says this: "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" So here we have the Lord speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. He's speaking in a specific way. He's asking a question. Now, do you suppose he's asking this question because he doesn't know the answer? Of course not. He knows everything, right? Amen. It's not that he doesn't know the answer. And many times in the Bible, we see God asking what we might call a rhetorical question. Jeremiah knows the answer. God knows the answer. We know the answer. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. But it's not so much a rhetorical question. Rhetorical questions, it's a statement in the form of a question to make a point. Spurgeon says this is more what we would call, of course this came much later through Socrates, with the Socratic method, and Socrates was not as likely to state a fact as to ask a question, and the purpose was to draw out the thoughts from those he taught. And I believe that's what God is doing here and what he does throughout the Bible when he asks a question. The question, the purpose is to make us think. Amen? To cause us and to help us to learn. We can also see this in God's conversation with Job. He asked Job, "Would you indeed annul my judgment?" Was he expecting an answer from Job? No. "Would you condemn me that you may be justified?" The answer's obvious, isn't it? But what does it do? It causes us to think about it. You know, "Would you indeed annul my judgment?" We can't judge God. Right? He is the supreme judge over all.
Amen.
"Would you condemn me that you may..." Who can condemn God? You know, it's interesting when you witness to people, a lot of times they'll have an objection to believing in God. "Well, I can't believe anyone would do the things that were done in the Old Testament." And we don't dare make a moral judgment on God. Because I may not understand everything, but I do understand this, and I know this, that God is right, and God is just, always.
Amen.
Always. "Have you an arm like God?" he asked Job. What kind of arm? All powerful. Able to create, symbol of his strength and his might. Jesus asked many questions to draw out thoughts of those that he taught. Matthew 6:2, he said, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan?" No answer needed, is there? But what does it do? It points us to think about it. Why am I worrying? What good is it going to do for me to worry? This is what Jesus was teaching. What good will it do you to worry? Can you add a single minute to your life by worrying? Is there any power in worrying? In Mark 4:21, Jesus said, Is a lamp bought to be put under a basket? Or under a bed? Of course not. Why do we buy a lamp? To put it on a table so that there's light in the house so that we can see. I like this one in John 8:10. "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" You know the story, the woman caught in adultery, surrounded by men, ready to stone her under the law. Jesus was there. He knew where they were. What is he saying here? "I have forgiven you." Where are they who condemn you? It doesn't matter what man says. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter what man says. Jesus is saying, "I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. Go and sin no more." Where are they who condemn you? Is there no one here to condemn you? Praise the Lord. Why does he do it? Why does God ask us? Why does he draw the thoughts out of his head away? Number one, it's necessary. He asked Jeremiah the question, is there anything too hard for God? Again, Jeremiah knows the answer, so why did God ask it? It's necessary because we are human. How many are human? 30% are awake. Because we're human. We are flesh. And flesh is frail. And our minds forgetful. Wow, there should be a lot of shouts there. How many have a forgetful mind? Did you forget what I asked already?
Who are you?
Exactly. I don't know. Jeremiah was indeed a great prophet of the Lord. Don't you love reading about the great men of God in the Bible? Don't you love reading about Elijah against the pagan prophets of Baal? Taunting them. I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, where's God now? Right? And it's not enough. They had a contest. All right, we're going to see whose God will burn up the sacrifice. We're going to call fire from heaven. It wasn't enough for him to just do that. Oh, wait. Let's dig a ditch around mine and fill it with water. Let's throw water on. Let's make my wood wet. I love that. And he calls fire down from heaven. And it burns up his sacrifice, the pagan sacrifice, the rocks, and all the water. Hallelujah. Don't you love reading about that?
Amen.
Guess what? You're no different. He was no different than you. He was a man. He was flesh and blood. He was frail. He was imperfect. He was forgetful. We read about that great account. Oh man, wouldn't you have liked to have been there? Wouldn't you have liked to have done that? Calling fire out of heaven. What did he do afterward? He got depressed and he went and he pouted and cried and wished he could die. Human. Flesh. Frail. No different than us. The New Testament actually says directly that he was a man of like passions. What does that mean? Flesh. Weak, sinful, able to be tempted, able to have a bad attitude. Anybody? Come on. Nobody? Amen. Thank you, Al. But Jeremiah, great prophet of the Lord, again, he was just a man. Now, there's nothing in the text that indicates that Jeremiah... Why did God ask him this question? There's nothing in the text that indicates that Jeremiah had doubt that the Lord was Almighty. In fact, if you go back a few verses, we could see in Jeremiah's prayer, he proclaims, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts." Does that sound like doubt?
Hallelujah.
Jeremiah's own words in his prayer to the Lord. No doubt there. Jeremiah knew it. God asked him, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah knew it. Jeremiah believed it. Jeremiah proclaimed it. And yet the question was necessary for him. And I want to tell you it's necessary for us today. Such questions from the Lord are His strongest affirmations. The Lord would have us ponder these questions. The Lord would have us ponder the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Why? Because it will give us certainty when we think about it. Have you ever thought about the Lord? Have you ever read His Word and dwelled on it and digested and meditated on it? Have you ever drawn close to the Lord? Have you ever learned from Him? Have you ever been taught by the Holy Spirit? So let's consider the question this morning. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there? Is there any exception? You know, we could say, nothing's too hard, nothing's too difficult for Thee, Lord. Any footnote? Is there any footnote needed? Is there any exception needed? Or is it just a flat-out fact? Is there any limitation to God's power? Is God's omnipotence ever in question? But how many know that? How many agree with that? You believe that? Okay? But how many know that it is often necessary for the Lord to drive home His truth to our minds and to our souls? Sometimes those scars are necessary, Doug. Right? For Him to drive home the point. And we need to be reminded. We know these things. They're fact to us. Spurgeon put it this way. We need the God of truth to teach us the truth of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Truth is never fully known until the Holy Spirit teaches us. It is absolutely necessary for us to be taught of God. Why? So that the truth becomes real to us. I mentioned it before. My good friend got saved recently. He'd been an atheist for over 50 years. But he experienced God. It wasn't because of anything I told him. It's because God taught him. God taught him. And it's a blessing to my heart when I talk to him. You're not going to talk him out of it. Because when God teaches us, right, it's real. It's real. It becomes real to us. Too often the truths that we know, that we agree with, that we believe, that we embrace, have become nothing but creed. You know what a creed is? A statement of, dictionary says, a statement of basic beliefs of a religion. I believe the God the Father. I believe, right? It's all true. But too often they just become something that's written down and filed away. Oh, wait a minute. Let me check the bylaws. Oh, yes. Yes, we believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's right here in the Emmanuel Chapel Statement of Faith. We believe and speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives us, right there. We got it. All right, let's put that back in the filing cabinet. You see the point? Too often, what we believe about God becomes nothing more than a creed. Something that I say that I believe this. But God's truth, friends, is not something to just be recited. Amen. It's not just something to be referred to. We need to bring it out. Amen? We need to bring it out and really be persuaded of it so that it's no longer just a statement, but it's our life. Amen? Something real, something practical, something that we can use every day. I heard a statement years ago. I like it. It says, read it, learn it, live it.
Amen?
Amen? Read it, learn it, live it. Listen to this. Spurgeon said, the truth of God laid on the shelf is as good as unknown. Let that one sink in. The truth of God laid on the shelf. Yes, I believe this. I believe that God is the Creator. I believe that Jesus is His Son. I believe that He was crucified and He died for me. I believe that He rose again on the third day and that He's coming again. A lot of people say that. A lot of people agree with that. A lot of people believe that, but it's not real to them.
All right.
It's only a creed. It's only a list of their religion. God wants His Word to be real to you and to me. That is why He asked this question. Jeremiah knew the answer. Is there anything too hard for God? And I ask you that this morning. Is there anything too hard for God? But how many know we need to be reminded of these truths? How many know, even though it may not be our intention, maybe we will file them away. Maybe we will put it on a shelf somewhere. How many know we need to be reminded? To get it back out, you know. You can come to church every Sunday and hear preaching, and it may be something you've heard before dozens of times, but I don't know about you, but I need it. I need to be reminded of it. Anyone else? Come on.
Amen.
So that we can live it. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded because you know what? We forget His power. We really do. We forget His grace. We forget His mercy. We forget His love. We forget His care for us. You ever been there? I just don't know. Does God really love me? Does God really care for me? And you open up that Bible. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of examples of just how much He loves you. He loves you enough that He laid down His life for you. And we need to be reminded of that. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Peter said, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth." Isn't that great? Peter's saying, I know you know it. You got it down. It's established. It's a fact, but I'm not going to be negligent to remind you. We need to be reminded. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sure, we know it. Yeah, it's not that we forget the knowledge. Right? We believe it. We proclaim it. But we still need to be reminded of it. So God asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
And that should cause us to think. And there are many people here today that need this. I truly believe that. I believe that's why God gave me this message. Including me. I need to ponder, is there anything too hard for God? I'm up against some struggles. Anyone else here? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah was in a bad situation. A little backstory here. He's in extreme famine. He had very little money. Israel's under siege. And God tells him to go buy a piece of land. Makes sense, right? Humanly speaking, no. It doesn't make any sense at all. Jeremiah didn't understand it. But do you know what he did? He obeyed. He obeyed. He obeyed unquestionably. We are to do what God says. Come on. As God says.
Amen.
When God says.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if we agree with it. It doesn't matter if it makes sense to us. It doesn't matter if we can even imagine how it's possible. We need to obey God unquestionably. Do what He says, as He says, and when He says. Jeremiah did not doubt. Jeremiah did not debate. Jeremiah did not delay. Again, even when in his own eyes, it didn't make sense. Now you've heard the saying, shoot first and ask questions later. That's not good advice, is it? John Wayne said, I had a friend tell me to shoot first and ask questions later. I was going to ask him why, but I had to shoot him. But we need to obey the Lord first and look for explanations later. Right? That's truth. That's good advice. And that's what Jeremiah did. He fully trusted in the Lord. Even though it didn't make sense, even though he didn't see how it was possible, he fully trusted that nothing was too difficult for God. He's God. Amen?
Amen.
After he obeyed, he began to look back. And he had some questions. He was unsure, so what did he do? Good example for us. He prayed for understanding. Now remember what I read a little while ago? Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. He said, there is nothing too hard for you. Jeremiah recalls, he proclaims and he professes who God is. In the beginning of his prayer, who He is. Ah, Lord God, nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing. And later on in the prayer, you can see it in verse 25. He says, "And you have said to me, O Lord God, you have said to me, buy the field for money and take witnesses. Yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans." See what he's saying? God, you told me to do this. Man, it's a mess. What's going on here? We're under siege. But he's not doubting him. He's not blaming him. He's not telling God that he led him astray. He's just saying, I don't get it. Have you ever had to say that to the Lord? Edna? Just smiling? I don't get it. How many have ever had to say that?
Right.
I don't understand, Lord, but I'm trusting you. I don't understand, Lord, but I know there's nothing too difficult. I don't understand it, Lord, but I know there's nothing too hard for you. You're in control. How many need to be reminded of it? God's answer, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I love that answer. I don't understand, God. I don't get it. How's this going to work? How's this going to happen? I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? It's okay to ask God questions. Do you know that? It's okay. I tell people that all the time. God can handle it. He can handle your questions.
Yeah.
It's okay to ask Him. It's okay to say, God, I don't get it. God, I don't understand. It's okay to tell Him that. It's okay to ask Him, God, please speak to me and let me know, fresh and anew, that there is nothing too hard for you. Remind me, Lord. Show me, Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. And what is the result? God applies the truth that we know. How many know there's nothing too difficult for God?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's textbook.
Hallelujah.
Right? That's textbook. How many know that's a fact? Nothing is too hard for God.
Amen.
But how many know it? How many know it as real? How many have experienced it? How many have had a situation in your life where you could not see any way out, but God came in?
Yes. Amen.
You see the difference? Now it's real to you. You know it. You've experienced God. And we need that kind of reminder. I think that's why sometimes we go through things. Because that's how He teaches us. Amen?
Amen?
That's how He teaches us. But when that happens, the truth that we know becomes real. It becomes fully anchored in our soul. And it abides there. How many have ever had to have God help you with something financial? You had a financial need. How many needed God to help you? Now, how many raise your hand high? How many would say, I know that I know that I know that I know that God helped me?
Yes, He did. Yes, He did.
What happened the next time you went through a situation like that? Now it wasn't, I heard about this. Now it wasn't, well, this is what it says. I guess it's right. Did it build your faith? Because now you don't just know it head knowledge. You know it in your heart. It's real to you because you've experienced it. And no one can talk you out of that. Amen? It abides in your soul. God teaches us by having... Listen, God teaches us by having us experience things that demand our trust in Him. Did you get that? That's how He teaches us. By having us go through things. Lion's den. Fiery furnace. They had to go through that. So that they would have to trust in God. The widow lady with half a cup of flour and a little bit of oil. That's all she had. You have a bank account full of money. You're not trusting God because it's right there. But when we have to trust Him, when there's no other way, and that's how He teaches us, that's faith. What's the definition of faith? Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. Yeah. See this Swiss Army knife? Man, I hope I have one of these one day. Doesn't make any sense, does it? I'm not hoping for it, I've got it. That's what faith is. Believing in God for what you don't have. Hope for. Substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things, come on, not seen. That's the way we learn, is when we are in a situation where we have to trust God. How many are glad for those lessons of life after they're over? After they're over, right? That's how we learn. That's how He teaches us. Were it not for the unseen, our faith would not grow. If we instantly had everything we wanted or needed, they wouldn't be hoped for, would they? What happens when we go through these things? What happens when our faith is tested? We grow and we experience God, and no man can teach you that. No book can teach you that. No commentary can teach you that. No sermon can teach you that.
Amen.
You will only truly know it when you live it. When you've been through it, no one can talk you out of it. How many have experienced salvation? How many have experienced forgiveness? How many know what it's like to have that burden of sin taken away and your sins forgiven and you know it? I could tell you about it, but you're not going to know it until you've experienced that. Do you know it's true? Do you know it's real? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're forgiven? Yeah. Because you've lived it, because it's real. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? When we live it, when we experience it, God allows us to see His power, His grace, His love. Think of the things that God has done for you in your life. And you had to go through a hard time, but what did you see? His power. Praise the Lord. How many have ever been healed? Did you like being sick? But how did you feel about being healed? How did you feel about being touched by the living God?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many have seen great and marvelous things in the Lord?
Yeah.
Huh? Guess what? There's more. There's more! You climb a mountain. It's hard, but you're at the top of the mountain. And it's victorious and it's wonderful. And you look up and there's another mountain. That's a good thing, because you like climbing mountains. Another opportunity to see God work. Another opportunity to answer the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah. When we know God, when we know Him to our full capacity, He enlarges our capacity. Amen? So we can learn and grow even more and get closer and closer to God. Praise God that we cannot say, I have followed the Lord for a long time, been there, done that. There's nothing else. How many know it's new? Every day. It's new every day. Is there anything too hard for the Lord, I ask you? It's absolute. It's a fact. Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. That's not just a Bible quote, friends. That's a fact. He created it all. And creation is a great argument. Consider this. God made it all from nothing. With no help. Do you believe that? Think about it. There is nothing that was not made by Him. Psalms 33:9 says, For He spoke. And it was done. Hallelujah.
Glory.
He commanded. And it stood fast. You get a picture of this God I speak of?
Hallelujah.
Huh? Created it all of nothing. He spoke. Let there be light. What happened?
There was
light. Let the waters in the heaven be gathered together to one place and the dry land appear. What happened? It happened. It was so. Birds, animals, fish. God spoke, and bam, the sun, the moon, the stars, He spoke. Is this a mighty God?
Glory.
I mean, come on, put it in perspective. Is that a mighty God?
Amen.
Spoke. And it was so. And He created man out of the dust of the earth. And breathed into him the breath of life. And he became a living soul. He made us. He gave us life. Do you believe that?
Amen.
God of the universe, creator of everything, creator of man. You believe it? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Now, if he can handle that, do you suppose maybe he can handle your problem? All right, so while creation is a great argument, notice that God doesn't use his past work like a resume. He doesn't even name his accomplishments. He simply says, I am Jehovah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I am Jehovah. That is his qualification. He is the great I am.
Amen.
The Lord God Almighty.
Glory.
Shout, somebody. Do we even have a hint? Do we even have a hint of what that really means? Can we come anywhere close to a glimpse of what that means when he says, I am?
Hallelujah. Oh.
Or is it just something in our creed? Something we believe, something we ascend to mentally, but is it real? Is it real to us? Do we really see him as he is? Or are our notions of the God of the universe somewhat feeble? Spurgeon said this, listen, I dare say we think we magnify him, but in reality we belittle him with our highest thoughts. Our highest thought that we can even imagine of how great God is, it's like belittling him compared to how he really is. We're not belittling him, but compared to how he is, our highest thoughts. When we go through trials and tribulations, it becomes clear what we really believe about him. Listen, we can say it. We can say we believe it. But when the rubber hits the road, when we really need him, when we go through trials, when we go through trouble, it becomes very clear what we really know and what we really believe about him. You know, we look at all the wonders and the vastness of the universe and we think, wow, God is amazing, right? But what happens when a single storm arises in our life?
Uh-oh.
Our faith is staggered. If we could get anywhere close to the idea of how immeasurable his greatness is, how immeasurable his power is, you know what? Doubt and mistrust would be impossible.
Amen.
If we could get but a glimpse of how he really is. Is there anything too hard for me?
No.
Says Jehovah. His own words in the form of a question. What's the answer? What's the answer?
Nothing too hard.
Nothing. Nothing is too difficult for him. He is the great I am. He's self-existent. He depends on no one. He needs nothing. He needs no support, no aid. All things are made by him. And he sustains everything. He is God. He is the Almighty One. We think of the angels, you know, we hear accounts of, wow, angels, you know, powerful, great, you know, angels. And there they are. They're awesome. Guess what? He made them all. And they're not his helpers. They're his creations. Isn't that awesome? They're not his helpers. He doesn't need help. He is God. He is Jehovah God. Is anything too hard for him? Is anything too hard for him? He is Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He is the great I am. He is Jehovah God. Is anything too hard for him? Now, how do we apply this? Do you believe, do you truly believe this morning that there's nothing too hard for the Lord? Come here with me. I think we all believe that. Well, maybe we think we believe it. Maybe we say we believe it. But do we live it? Do we live it? Are we applying it? Was God sufficient to save you?
Yes.
Now, I want you to think this morning. Think of the vilest sinner you can imagine. Think of the one who shakes his fist at God. Think of the one who mocks and hates Christians, kills Christians, beheads them, kills their children. Think about it. Surely they're too evil. Right? Surely they're too far gone. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Think about your lost loved ones. I'm closing. Jacob, if you would come. Think about your lost loved ones. Right now, how many have lost loved ones? I want you to think about the one who is furthest from the Lord. Do you have doubt that they'll be saved? Are they too far gone? They won't listen. They hate God. They hate church. Maybe they even hate you. Have you given up hope?
No.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
What about you? What about your own sin? Is there a sin in your past that you cannot imagine this morning that God would ever consider forgiving you or could ever forgive you? Is there something that you're holding on to? What about you? Is there something you don't think you could be forgiven for? Past sins? Well, what about present sins in your life? Is there a struggle in your life? Is there a sin in your life that has you bound? Is there a disobedience? Is there rebellion? Is there addiction? Are you bound by something and you think you cannot be delivered? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Do you need healing in your body? Do you believe that God can heal you no matter what the sickness is? You know, we have a lot of faith and confidence when it comes to the headache and the common cold. Right? How big is our God? Is there anything impossible for Him? Is there anything too hard for Him? You know, headaches and cold, He can handle that. What's our reaction? Be honest with yourself. What's your reaction when you hear the news that someone has cancer? I was so touched by Vicky's testimony. I mean, she is sick, she's in the hospital, and she's arguing with the nurses saying, no, God is going to help me. I love it! But think now. What is your reaction when you hear someone have... Oh, man. Sigh. We look at it like it's a death sentence. God can handle kidney disease. God can handle strep throat. But man, they got cancer. That's a death sentence. Think about it. Is that how you react? Do you gasp when you hear that someone has cancer? Is cancer greater than God?
No.
So we need to ask ourselves that question, don't we? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know a lot of people here, I do. I hear somebody has cancer, I have a negative reaction to it. It's not right, I do though. I know better, but it needs to be real to me. I need to refresh that in my mind and ask that question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Cancer, how about deafness? Blindness? Depression, addiction, anger, lust, greed. What are you struggling with? Is it too big for God?
No.
Is anything too big? Is anything too hard for God? Nothing. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Let's live it.
Amen?
Let's live it. Now I'm going to have Jacob lead us in that song we're all familiar with. In the words of Jeremiah. Ah, Lord God, nothing is too difficult for Thee. The Lord laid this on my heart, and as He's singing, I want you to come and bring whatever it is that you thought was too difficult for God. You believe? You believe? No, nothing is impossible. But you weren't living that. I wasn't living that. And I want you to bring it to this altar. And I want you to leave it here. And I want you to pray like Jeremiah. Pray. It's not formula. I don't believe in that. But let's follow Jeremiah's example. Come to this altar and pray. And let us start out by saying, God, You are it. You are mighty. You are holy. Nothing is too difficult for You. and then give Him whatever you're struggling with. If you're here this morning, you've not been saved, you think you can't be forgiven, you think you've done things and you've been too bad, nonsense! Nothing is too hard for God.
Amen.
And if you'll simply come to Him, say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. He'll wash away every sin. He'll make you new, and you'll be in His family. Nothing is too difficult for Him.
Amen.
But Jacob's going to lead us in a song. I want you to come. I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to leave that thing here. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I thought that was too big for you. I said it with my mouth that you're greater, but with my life and with my thoughts, I put that thing above you as though you had any weakness at all. Come, Jacob. Bring it to Jesus and leave it here.
Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thine outstretched arms. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Indeed, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for Thee. Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thine outstretched arms.
Nothing more.
Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Great mighty God. Great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for Thee. All is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Great mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Great mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Great mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Great mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee.